456060973 for more on why I think a Hillary Clinton victory looks inevitable now and what we might see once she does get back into the White House. Let's cross to Washington and join LBC's US correspondent Simon Marks, who's just returned to the US Capitol from the big debate in Las Vegas. I hope you're all watching. Very good morning to you, Simon.
Hello, Matt. Just unpacking after my trip to Sin City.
Are you having the most unbelievably fun time out there?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've been here for a good long while, and this is my sixth presidential campaign, but I can safely say that none of us has ever witnessed a presidential campaign like this one, because it combines not just politics, but also this extraordinary cultural moment in the United States with Donald Trump, a man who, I will be the first to admit, I completely wrote off as a possible presidential candidate when he got into the race. No, I wasn't the only one. I'm in good company, but I, you know, like so many other people in Washington, D.C., couldn't imagine for a second that his presidential campaign was going to get traction. And yet here we are covering this remarkable standoff between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
And what do you think is the likely outcome now? Tell us the latest polls. Give us a sense of what people on the ground in the states are saying.
Well, I was just looking at them before I came on the air, and they are tightening. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, earlier, a few days ago, Hillary Clinton was enjoying, depending on which poll you looked at, anywhere between an 8 and 12% lead in the national polls. That lead in most of those polls, if you look at the average, the poll of polls, is down to about 6% now. She's still ahead of Donald Trump in some of the crucial battleground states where this election will ultimately be won or lost. Those, of course, are the states that sometimes vote Republican and sometimes vote Democratic, and so that's where the candidates focus all their fire, particularly in this final sprint to election day. I think that if you look at the campaigns, there's no question that the Clinton campaign is behind the scenes preparing for government, and the Trump campaign behind the scenes is not preparing for government. They're preparing to launch some kind of Trump television news channel in the new year. But all those of us who witnessed what happened in the Brexit referendum earlier in the year are very well aware that polls can be wrong, that events can be unpredictable, and this presidential election has been so unpredictable that, you know, while the numbers and the dynamic of the race tend to favor the idea that Hillary Clinton is correct to be measuring up the curtains and deciding what crockery to order for her period of time in the White House, a last-minute surprise remains possible.
And this is a point that Piers Morgan makes in this Daily Mail piece that I've been talking about. He does say that she's now the red-hot favourite to become the first female president, but he also says that the polls might be as hopelessly wrong as they were about Trump's chances of winning the Republican nomination in the first place.
Well, I have literally just broken away from a dinner where I've been talking to a very old friend of mine who comes from Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is a battleground state, a critical battleground state. And she was articulating the view over dinner tonight that she thinks there are large numbers of people in Pennsylvania who are lying to pollsters and are not telling the truth about their intention to vote for Donald Trump.
And this is a variation on the theme of the shy Tory, isn't it, at the last general election.
Exactly that. Exactly that. I mean, we were discussing over the dinner table, you know, that in the suburbs of Philadelphia, you can easily find people who absolutely loathe Hillary Clinton. However, Hillary Clinton has a much more developed ground game, as they call it here, than Donald Trump. She's got the organization. She's got the network of local offices across the state of Pennsylvania, across the other battleground states, Florida, Virginia. She's got the capacity to get out the vote. And on November the 8th, Election Day, it literally will be all about getting the vote out, driving your supporters, if necessary, to the polls, walking them to the polls, making sure that they get in there and vote for her. Whereas Donald Trump, because he hasn't had as much money as Hillary Clinton, and he certainly hasn't been able to match her for fundraising, hasn't equally been able to match her for organization. So he's relying on the basic visceral enthusiasm of his supporters to wake up that morning and vote for him. The other reason why I think you have to at this point favour the notion of a Hillary Clinton victory is if you just look back to 2012, Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama. Well, Mitt Romney lost. In order to win, Donald Trump has to generate as much support as Mitt Romney and then more. And there's no evidence to suggest that he's doing that, given the divisions that his policy positions and his approach to politics have created within the Republican Party. There are so many Republicans that won't show up and vote for him on November the 8th. And again, for that reason, that favours the idea that Hillary Clinton is going to end up the winner.
So, Simon, just spell out for us, for those of us who are the other side of the pond, those of us in the UK, why is it that Donald Trump isn't absolutely certain to lose, given some of the things that a lot of us would consider completely outrageous, some of the things that come out of his mouth? I know some listeners are big Trump fans. We've talked about this before. But I am shocked that he's even been talked about as still in the race. I mean, I've given you some examples earlier in the last few minutes, the big Mexican wall, the temporary ban that he once proposed for Muslims coming into America, the insults he's flung at women, the language that seems so unfit to find a home in the White House. And we should also say as well that this week, President Obama himself has said that this undermining of democracy that Donald Trump seems to be indulging in by not making absolutely clear that he will accept the result is dangerous. It's doing the work of America's adversaries for them. I mean, he said it was like a comedy, and maybe it was a joke, but he said the other day, I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters and to all of the people of the United States that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
And
he did go on to say he would accept a clear election, but he clearly didn't rule out a potential legal challenge if he was uncomfortable with the result. So explain to us why he has not rendered himself completely unelectable.
It is confounding to Hillary Clinton's core supporters and to her loyal campaign advisers that she is not 15 to 20 points clear of Donald Trump in the polls, because, you know, on paper, no candidate could have put more steps wrong than Donald Trump. But the reality is that Hillary Clinton from day one has been a very weak candidate for the presidency. First of all, she's a terrible campaigner. She doesn't like getting out into the country. She doesn't like meeting people. She doesn't like going through the machinations of a campaign. She's never particularly enjoyed it or warmed to it, and she's the first to admit that. She has a sense of entitlement that comes as a result of 25 years of being part of the political furniture here in the United States. She finds it very difficult to connect with people that she used to describe on the campaign trail as everyday Americans, by which she means middle-class voters, because she's not one of them. Having left government, along with her husband Bill Clinton and their daughter Chelsea, have become absolutely card-carrying members of the wealthy New York elite. They are among the richest of all Americans. And for her suddenly to decide that it was time to revolve the doors one more time and leave private life and return to public service, that's a complicated contortion for someone to make, especially when they've been making all of these speeches to Wall Street bankers, and she hasn't wanted to get the transcripts of those speeches released. When WikiLeaks dumped them, we discover that she's been telling Wall Street bankers, well, look, I have a public position, but then, of course, I also have a private position on many issues of policy. So she's got a fundamental problem of trust and credibility.
And Simon, I'm just going to interrupt you because I want to go to some calls shortly. Just very, very quickly, in a couple of sentences, what should we expect from a Hillary Clinton White House if indeed she does win? Very, very briefly.
Well, I think a degree of continuity from President Obama's era in power, certainly someone who's going to honour the whole concept of international alliances, particularly with the UK, with Europe, with NATO. But I also think something genuinely interesting that has become somewhat overlooked in this campaign: she will be, if she's elected, America's first woman in the White House, and she will be dealing with Theresa May in number 10 Downing Street, with Angela Merkel in Berlin, Flynn with Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland. I mean, that becomes a very interesting dynamic, even though Hillary Clinton and Theresa May certainly aren't political soulmates. That's something potentially new and different, and something that I think could prove to be very interesting in the months ahead.
Simon, it's very, very interesting talking to you. Thank you so much. That's our correspondent in the US, Simon Marks.